if you take that out, our main focus passage is going to be coming from John chapter 21, verses 18 through 23 today. But we're going to be talking about how our calling never changes. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world, we still have the same calling because God never changes, and therefore our calling never changes. And Jesus said, "Follow me." That's what he says to us today. That's what he said to us to bring us to the point of belief and following him. That's what he said to his original disciples, "Follow me." And a lot of times we want to know all the details. We want to know how it's going to end up. We want to know where the path's going to lead. We want all the details before we'll agree to follow. But you know what? Jesus don't give us all the details. He just says, "Follow me." And that's where faith comes in. That, first of all, we can trust him. And if we know that we can trust him, then I think we can allow him to fill in all the details in the blanks, right? Because we can trust him. And even when we pray about things and maybe it doesn't, you know, pan out exactly like we thought it was going to, you know what? We can still trust him because his plan for us is good. And if he says no to one thing, it's because he's got a better yes somewhere else. And so we just need to keep our eyes on him. But Jesus says, "Follow me." And it doesn't change. In fact, if we look at the way that Jesus' ministry started, the way he started his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So how do we start following Jesus? It's by turning away from our old life. It's by turning away from our old sin. It's by saying, "Lord, I don't want to continue in that direction. I want to follow you." And I want us to understand, repent means a 180-degree turn. And it means like I'm walking this way, and now I'm going to turn and I'm going to go this way. And so while you're walking in your old way of life, you're walking toward the old sins, the old fleshly desires. You know where you're walking in accordance with Jesus? You are walking away from Jesus at that point. But what Jesus wants us to do is stop walking away from him, and he bids us and he's calling us from the other side saying, "Follow me. Follow me." And so as we turn to and we repent, that's what repentance means. We're remembering that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and it's in Christ. You see, Jesus is the kingdom. We find the kingdom in him and the kingdom remains in him. So therefore we need to remain in him to inherit the kingdom. You see, Jesus started his ministry with those very words. And Jesus also called his first disciples with these words, "Follow me" as well. And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee. We look, it's right there in the very same chapter. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I'm just going to tell you, that really rings true in my own life. I used to spend countless hours on the riverbank or on a lake or in a boat trying to catch some fish. And one day, Jesus said, "Hey, you know what? I got a better plan for you." And he has caused me to use that same type of persistence to try to win people to Christ and to help disciple them. He said, "Follow me, and I'm going to change your life. Follow me, and you're going to go from being a fisherman to a fishers of men." And that's exactly what he wants to do for all of us. And they immediately, that's an important word there, and they immediately, okay, left their nets and followed him. Their calling never changed. Their calling never changed. A couple weeks ago, when we were looking at John chapter 21, we noticed that as soon as Peter was at a little bit of a loss of what to do, he tried going back to his old life as a fisherman. And we talked about how they fished all night and they caught nothing. You know why? Because Jesus said we can't go back. We can't resume that old life just because, you know, we're not quite sure what to do. We need to wait on him. He's going to show us the next step. And of course, Jesus showed up in John chapter 1 on the bank. And he said the same thing he had said to Peter before whenever he was changing his calling to be a fisher of men. And he said, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat." And as soon as they did it, the same thing happened the second time that it happened the first time at the beginning of the ministry. Their net was so full, they didn't know what to do with all of them. And immediately, they knew it's Jesus. You see, Jesus wants us to continue on from that point where we had that calling to follow Him and to remember our calling doesn't change. You know, a lot of times we start thinking this crazy thought, you know, how much of our life does God really want? When is enough enough? I don't know, maybe some of you guys have never asked that question, but I kind of asked that question. I started out with Christ, and it seemed, you know, it seemed like this new life was pretty radical, you know. It seemed very different to what I was used to, and I was thinking, when is enough enough? I'm just going to tell you, we got to give Him everything. And once we thought we've given Him everything, we need to reevaluate, because He wants our everything. And here's the thing, a lot of times we think, well, that just seems too extreme, but I'm going to tell you, anything you try to keep for yourself is going to rot. It's going to ruin. It's only what you give to Him that will be preserved. So Jesus looked at them and He said, you know, they were talking about salvation. He was talking about how it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He was talking about these things to them. He was teaching them in Matthew 19. Then we get down to verses 26 and 27. And He said, with men, it is impossible. They said, then how can anybody be saved, Lord? How can anybody be saved? You know, folks, you may think you're really poor, and sometimes we can get to feeling that way, but I can tell you, we're actually very rich. We have everything we could ever imagine really at our disposal one way or another. Sure, we got to work for it, but we have the opportunity to work for it. And so it's awesome, but here's the thing. You see, we can't allow any of those things to be a stumbling block to us. And that's what happens to a rich man. Their possessions get in the way of them really giving everything to Christ. And so they said, how can anybody be saved? And He said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to Him, see, we've left all and followed You. Therefore, what shall we have? Kind of a crazy question, isn't it? Peter's wondering, what's in it for us? When's enough enough? And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for My name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. When is enough enough? I'll be honest with you. Enough will finally be enough when we finish our race walking with Him. Now, are we going to do it perfectly a long way? Absolutely not. That's why God calls us to repentance every day. He says, reevaluate your life. Take a look at your life. As soon as you wake up in the morning, I pray that you will ask God, show me, God, how have I been doing? What do I need to work on today? And then begin to work on it all brand new and fresh that day. Because, see, God doesn't despise us. He calls us to reevaluate our life so that He can help in the work of perfecting us and finishing our faith. And so it's really important for us to do, but I just want you to know, whatever you give up for Jesus, He's going to give you 100-fold more. So don't just look at what you're giving up. Look, really, I mean, honestly, Jesus is telling us this so that we can look at what we're gaining. I'll be honest with you, the first time we began to sponsor a child, I looked at what I was going to be giving up. I was going to be giving up, at the time, like $32 a month. And I was like, I don't think I could do this. Then I realized, you know, it was like buying a soda, really, a day, you know? And I know a lot of us don't do that, and I get that. I wasn't a big one on it, but I started thinking about it. And I started thinking about some other stuff I had going on in my life. At the time, I was still chewing tobacco, and I was trying to get that out of my life. And I thought, you know what? I'm spending more than $1 a day on that, and if I gave that up, I'd be able to sponsor this kid. Look at what I'm giving up. That's what I kept thinking. I'm giving up this $32 a month. And then we got our first letter back from our sponsored child, and he talked about how he loved us and was praying for us. I broke down and started weeping. It shocked me. It wasn't about what I was giving up. God wanted me to receive the love of this child and to receive prayers from the other side of the world. How has that changed my life, I wonder? I think I'll get forever to notice and to see how it's changed my life in heaven. But you see, if I never would have been willing to make that little, what I thought, was a sacrifice at the moment, I would never have the opportunity to be able to see the benefit from it later on. So all I'm saying is, don't look at what you're giving up. Look at just trying to give it all to Christ, because he's got so much more he wants to give us. Do I get an amen to that? God is a generous God. He's not going to overlook us. You see, something else we need to realize about Jesus. He doesn't apologize for the truth. Did you ever notice that? Jesus, you know, the whole time that he walked on the earth, the whole time that he had his ministry, you know, he wasn't going to have a whole lot of a time to teach in that. He knew, you know, that he came to go to the cross. But he, all during that time, he doesn't apologize for the truth. In fact, he's teaching about our servanthood here. And he's talking about, you know, if you got a hired hand, you got a servant out there, you know, do you invite him to come in from the field and eat before you if you're the master? No. He says, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. You see, guys, where we really get stumbling and where we really get tripped up is when we start thinking of ourselves more highly than what we ought. I can tell you, you and I are really nothing in this thing. Jesus is everything. And if we can kind of keep our focus like that, it takes away a lot of the disappointments of walking with Christ, because really there shouldn't be any disappointments in walking with Christ, because he is all good. He is all knowing. He is all powerful. He is all generous. He is all merciful. He is so amazing. And if we keep our eyes on him, there really isn't room for a lot of disappointment. Because if he says no in one place, it's because he's going to say no in a better place. If we really trust him, we'll begin to realize that. And so he doesn't apologize for the truth, and he also doesn't apologize for his individual plan for us either. We get to John chapter 21. If you want to turn in your Bibles over to there, we're going to read this portion of Scripture, verses 18 through 23. He said, says to Peter, okay, he had said, do you love me? We kind of talked about that, the different ways the word love was being used there. Agape as opposed to phileo, and we see how Jesus met him at his point of need. He was showing him, if you really want to show me you love me, then feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, take care of them, tend to them. And then in verse 18, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he's speaking to Peter here, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, very same words that the ministry started in, let's say it together, follow me. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Your calling hadn't changed, Peter. Get out of the fishing boat. Let's start fishing for men like I told you was your new calling. Put all of your eggs in that basket. Put all of your life into this one effort. And I just tell you, you know what tears us up more than anything? Is living a divided life. We're trying to go one way and serve ourselves, and Jesus keeps calling us to come back and serve him, and so we're always in this struggle. But if we can just get all about serving him, and remember, he said, you follow me. It ain't about me anymore. It's about him at that point. And if we can abide there, if we can stay there, then the struggle is over. Then we can start really reaping the benefit of walking with Christ. That's what he's telling Peter here. In fact, he's not apologizing for the fact that Peter's going to die a martyr's death. Do you see that? He's telling him, people are going to bind you. People are going to take you where you don't necessarily wish to go. But you know what? He was showing him how his death was going to glorify God. And if Peter was all about the glory of God, that wasn't going to be a disappointment. And church tradition says Peter refused to be nailed to the cross like this and said, no, that would be too honorable for me to die like my Lord. He asked to be crucified upside down. And that says, man, to us, you know, that's just extreme. Yes, it's extreme. But isn't it beautiful that Peter wanted to glorify God that much? And we would say, well, I couldn't do that. Well, maybe you can't in the place where you are in the flesh. But with God's help and with Him, His glory being your desire, He will help us do whatever we need to do at the moment when we need to do it to glorify Him the most. And we just have to depend on Him. We have to keep our eyes on Him. And then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is talking about John, following, who also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? So we're defining that this is John. John didn't want to say, he turned around and looked at me. He's saying he turned around and looked at the one who said this. And then in verse 21, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? See, Peter got it. Peter understood it. I'm going to lose my freedom. I'm going to be carried where I don't want to go. I'm going to be bound, and I'm going to die like that. What about John? What about him? Is he going to have to go the same road as me? You know, that's what makes us stumble probably more than anything. We start looking at other people. God says, here's your lot for your life right now. This is how you're going to have an opportunity to glorify me. And we look off at somebody else and we say, what about him? What about her? How come I don't get the same thing they have? How come I don't have the same benefits that they have? Guys, it's not for us to look at other people. That's another stumbling block. He said, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he return till I come, what is that to you? And then he says it again. You, let's say it together. Follow me. You. Just be concerned with one thing. Don't be concerned with John. Don't be concerned with Andrew. Don't be concerned with anybody else out here. What you need to be concerned about is just one thing. And if we get it boiled down to one thing, coronavirus won't scare us. If we get it boiled down to one thing, leaving the country on a mission trip won't scare us. If we get it down to one thing, whatever God tells us, we're not going to let the fear of what could happen rule our life anymore, because you see, we're focused on the one thing. If we can get it focused on the one thing, battle's won. Who holds your eternity? Jesus does. If He's got your eternity, I can assure you He can take care of you right now. Now, that don't mean you can just go out and do crazy things. He don't give us no promise on that one. He don't say, you go out and do anything you feel like doing and I'll protect you. Go jump off of a building somewhere. No. That's not His business. Because that isn't glorifying God. But whenever you do what God tells you to do, and you do it for His glory and His sake, He has absolutely promised you that He's going to take care of that. He said, you follow me. Then the saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Speaking of John, yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. He said, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Guys, it's not for us to compare ourselves to other people. What it is for us is to look to Jesus and to do what he called us to do and to follow him. Follow me. We go back to those same two words. The beginning of his ministry, he called his disciples. He said these same two words. Now at the end of his ministry, he's getting ready to go back to heaven. He's giving them their last words. Guess what he's still saying? The same two words. So they must be important words. And I believe that's what he said to you when he called you unto salvation. And I believe that's what he's saying to us still this very day. The very same command. You follow me. Real life starts when we answer the call to follow Jesus. And our call never changes. You know why? Because our God doesn't change. In fact, he says in Romans chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. No one can revoke them. Praise God. If he said, follow me, I'm going to take care of you. Follow me. You have eternal life. Follow me. I've got a plan for you. Follow me and I will accomplish it. Then it becomes his responsibility to make sure that it works out. man, that takes a lot of pressure off of me. It's just as simple as those two words, follow Jesus. I'm going to pray for you right now. Dear Father, I pray that every man, woman, and child in this room that are present during this service today, that they will, in fact, follow Jesus. Lord, I pray that we've already made the decision to follow you, but that decision is going to have to get lived out each day. And so let us recommit ourselves to that same decision every day. Lord, if there's anybody here that hasn't decided that they have committed their heart to follow Jesus yet, I pray that today might be the day to do that. Lord, it says in the Scripture that if we believe that you died on the cross for us to pay for our sins, and that God raised you from the dead, Lord Jesus, and we cry out to you as our Lord, King, if we confess with the mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And so, Lord, that's not just an intellectual thing. That's a heart belief. Believe in the heart. And so, Lord, I pray that if anybody is to the point of believing in their heart that you are their Lord, their Savior, they want to follow the risen Lord. And I pray they'll make that commitment today. They could come forward to make their commitment at the altar. They can make that commitment where they stand. They may have already made that commitment in their bedroom one night as they were saying their prayers before they went to sleep. I don't know, Lord, but I know that if their heart is there, they are saved and they should continue to follow you. Following you means that we would also be baptized, because you said be baptized. You actually went through the waters of baptism yourself to show us. Lord, following you will mean that we will consider the needs of the poor, because you said so. Following you means that we won't be okay just allowing little pet sins to rule our life anymore. We'll deal with them and we'll put them before the throne. Following you means we will depend on your strength and your grace every day. So Lord, help us to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You are precious. Anyone else? Testimonies are powerful things, because you see, whenever we give a testimony, it's like saying, you don't have to be some super Christian for God to work through you. He works through just all of us who are normal people. With man, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible.
Amen.
Brother?
All right. Do we have any birthdays today? Any birthdays? All right. You stand right next to me. Didn't know it.
How old are you?
Anything?
I'll be 22 tomorrow.
22. Anything else you want to say?
I'm just grateful that God's really changed my life over the past, I don't know, 3 years now. So.
Amen. Stay right here, buddy, and look out there at all the smiling faces while we sing to you. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, Lord bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, only one will not do, born again means salvation. How many have you? Happy birthday, brother. All right, how about anniversaries? Anniversaries. No anniversaries. All right. We'll go ahead and close then. Father God, we come to you again, Lord, thanking you for this day, and we're thanking you for your word, Lord. We know that all things are possible through you, Lord, and we're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful for the hope that you've given us through Jesus Christ, and Lord, we pray for the ones who have the cancer at this time, Lord. We pray a special prayer for Jan and all the others, Lord, who are suffering from a horrible disease, Lord. But, Lord, we just pray that you bless them. And we pray, Lord, for the family of Vera and Bonnie, Lord, at the loss of a husband and brother, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you give them peace. And, Lord, we know that he's in a much better place, Lord, and through all the suffering he's done for the last few years, I'm sure that he is much happier. And I pray, Lord, that you just continue to be with the family there, and Brother John and sister, Lord, I pray that you just keep comfort on them in peace, Lord. And Lord, it's a trip we all have to take someday, Lord. And I just pray that everyone will be ready. In Jesus' holy name, amen.